Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of Scouting 5, recapping scouting news from around the world for the week of February 24th, 2020. I'm Scouter Ken, and today I'm recording from St. Albert, Alberta. Just a couple days ago, youth from scouting and guiding units in Orilla, Ontario, joined the mayor of Orilla, Steve Clark, as well as Councillor Jay Fayless, in raising the Scout and Guide flag outside the Orilla Opera House to mark the end of Scout Guide Week. Mayor Clark remarked during the presentation on his time as a parent of a member of the first Orilla group, helping prepare Santa baskets each year was a memory he highlighted in particular. The first troop in Orilla was founded in 1909, and there are currently 122 scouts and 60 guides that continue to comprise it. Youth in scouting have an opportunity to learn by doing, to become better citizens and leaders in their community. And this wasn't the only example of Scout Guide Week celebrations that I found in the news from at least around Canada. The Scouts Canada flag was similarly raised at the town hall in Bracebridge, Ontario. And on February 22nd, members of scouting groups along the Sunshine Coast in British Columbia, Canada, honored the birthday of the scouting movement's founder, Lord Robert Baden-Powell, as well as his wife, Lady Olave Soames Baden-Powell, who was the first chief girl guide, with a torchlight parade along Gibson's Way. Scouts and their leaders rallied at the Sunshine Coast self-storage on Venture Way at about 5:30 p.m., started marching around 6 p.m. to their end destination at Gibson's Way and North Road. Along the way, the scouts collected donations of food or cash for the St. Bartholomew's Food Bank. Scouts of all ages and their adult leaders are able to use the new feature that has been installed at the scouting headquarters in Upper Kingston Lake, which is in Southwick in Britain. It's all thanks to volunteers Nick Reeve and Stan Furlong, who designed and built a climbing wall, and not just any climbing wall, a themed climbing wall. The idea was to make it challenging for all age groups, from 6-year-old beavers up to adult climbers, and the theme that they chose was snakes and ladders. It has evidently gone over like a storm with the whole group. It incorporates overhangs, a chimney climb, and a platform, as well as a very beautiful, colorful design. The Ador East Lions also attended the opening and made a 300-pound donation in recognition of the efforts of the Cubs and Scouts that went into raising money during Christmas sleigh ride collections as well as other activities. Construction of the wall took about 7 months using plywood donated by Otima, evidently a hardware chain in Britain, as well as fixings supplied by Tesco in Portslade. The Scouts group also raised money for the project through sponsored walks, film nights, and all of those were evidently very well supported indeed. Cub Scouts from Pack 1683 in Springfield, Virginia, heard back from some soldiers overseas that they had actually sent Valentines to. In particular, they received a thank you note from serving members of the Trojan Horse Unit, who I believe are stationed in Poland. If I'm not, I believe that's where they are stationed. A thank you note was sent for the Christmas cards. I have them as Valentine cards initially in my notes, but no, they were Christmas cards that were sent. The soldiers were particularly glad to receive, you know, the heartfelt messages and notes from home during the holiday season. And Cub Scout Pack 1683 actually passed along a second bit of news. So they passed along that story. And then a second bit of news that they also sent along was that one of their Cubmasters evidently lost, I'm not sure how to describe this, a challenge during their annual popcorn sale. And so Cubmaster Jess has had his head shaved and will be wearing a wig to all scouting events through to the end of summer camps in August, which includes the woodbed course that he is staffing and about 6 months of staff development activities as well. So good job, and thank you for your sense of humor, Cubmaster Jess. Some news broke earlier this week about a search for a pair of missing scout leaders near Souk, BC. And you may remember that Souk and Camp Barnard nearby was the... No, is it Camp Barnard? Can't remember just off the top of my head now, but the camp, there's a scout camp just near there that was the site of the Pacific Jamboree this last summer. At any rate, a pair of scout leaders went missing near Souk a couple of days ago, but fortunately there's a happy ending to the story. According to RCMP, the two scouters, a man and a woman, were found near the remote Vancouver Island community of Jordan River and are now safe at the search command post. They were part of a larger group of scouts youth aged 11 to 14, that were on a camping trip near Shirley. All of these are towns in British Columbia, on Vancouver Island in particular. The two leaders left the group on Sunday to hike out to their vehicle, but they didn't return. That kicked off a search and rescue effort on Sunday afternoon that lasted until they were found on Monday. Search crews found the scouts and a third leader safe and warm at their campsite on Sunday, and the two missing leaders were found around noon on Monday. One had an injured knee. Evidently, one adult and five youth are still out in the woods, but police say that they are safe and will be hiking out soon. The county of Wetaskiwin in Alberta recently transferred ownership of a donated piece of property, as requested by Scouts Canada. The decision was made, actually, at the council's January regular meeting. Councillors read in a report in their agenda package regarding a donation that was made decades ago to the Scouts of Wetaskiwin, back when they were still known as the Boy Scouts. In 1972, one Mr. A.L. Seiler donated to the Boy Scouts of Wetaskiwin a portion of his property, approximately 1.49 hectares, 3.7 acres. At that time, the Boy Scouts were actually not allowed to hold title to property, so the county agreed to hold the land in trust. Doug Smith, who is the operations manager for Scouts Canada, I guess, in this region of the world, recently received an email advising that their legal counsel has reviewed the draft lease that the trustee was attempting to impose and noted that some conditions within the lease that the beneficiary of the land, Scouts Canada, was required to accept were inconsistent with the beneficiary's fundamental right to use, occupy, and benefit from the land. Mr. Smith advised that their legal counsel had suggested that the title of the land be transferred to the Property Society of Alberta, which is a trust maintained by Scouts Canada, or for Scouts Canada properties in the province of Alberta, which would thereby, of course, remove the need for the proposed lease. Wetaskiwin councillors voted unanimously in favor of this transfer to the Property Society of Alberta. So there's another little piece of land for Scouts to take advantage of now in and around Wetaskiwin. And that is all the news I have for you this week. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, be prepared.